Welcome. To another edition of the Australian DX Report, a weekly program of interest to shortwave listeners around the world. This is Bob Pagela bringing to you our broadcast, and I hope that you'll find information in it of value and interest to your shortwave monitoring hobby activities. These programs are sponsored by the Australian Shortwave Radio Association, which is based here in Melbourne, Victoria, and of course in Australia. I'd just like to remind you that all times we give in these programs are in UTC, also known as GMT, using the 24-hour time system, and all frequencies are in kilohertz. Our solar activity report commences our broadcast this time with information acknowledged to the Department of Space Services in Sydney, New South Wales, here in Australia. The department advises that solar activity, or sunspot activity, actually, has now increased to what is regarded as a very high level. It had been fluctuating around low to very low for some weeks. Now it's moved up, and high frequency conditions are expected to improve above about 14 megahertz. The latest available information from the IPS is that the 10.7 centimetre solar radio flux has increased to 129, that's 129, and the daily equivalent sunspot number has increased to 82, that's 82. And those figures are expected to remain much the same in the immediate future. It just means that high frequency propagation will continue to be somewhat erratic. I shouldn't say unreliable, but erratic, because of the fluctuations in solar activity from day to day. We're now moving through the plateau of sunspot cycle number 24, and sunspot cycle number 25 is expected to produce the first sunspots, that's for the new season, shortly. Meantime, some information concerning broadcasting in Japan. Radio Japan has published an interesting booklet called 80 Years of NHK World, 1935 to 2015, the history of international broadcasting from Japan. It's available both in hard copy format or can be downloaded from the internet. If you're interested in downloading it from the internet, do a search through a search engine for Radio Japan, 80 Years of NHK World. The book is amply illustrated with very interesting historical photographs dating back to 1925. I'd like to just read to you some of the opening sections of the book. In 1925, the chapter is titled Broadcasting Begins Crossing Borders. Short waves rapidly link the world. The race for technology is on. Japan seeks to reach the world. And it says the radio age has arrived. In the 19th century, man discovered electricity and electric radio waves. In 1876, Bell invented the telephone, which turned the human voice into electricity and transmitted it. In 1887, Edison developed the phonograph. In 1895, Marconi invented wireless, that's radio telegraphy. On Christmas Eve of 1906, Canadian inventor Reginald Fessenden transmitted a human voice on radio waves for the first time from a suburb of Boston. The world learned the power of radio when the Titanic hit an iceberg and sank on the night of April 14, 1912. All the world knew about the tragedy the next morning. Before World War I, 1914-18, the race for radio technology heated up with Japan taking part. Japan begins radio broadcasting in 1925. On March 22 of that year, Japan began provisional radio broadcasting with 220 watts. 2 years had passed since the Great Kanto earthquake in 1923. 3 months later, on July 12, the Tokyo Broadcasting Station began full operation with 1 kilowatts. Then a miracle occurred. In September, letters from listeners began arriving from Alaska, Australia and the US West Coast. The broadcasting was meant to be domestic, but radio waves are unexpectedly travelling across the Pacific. Also in 1925, RAVAG, the predecessor of the Austrian Broadcasting Corporation, ORF, relayed coverage of the Salzburg, or music festival, to various places in Europe. In Japan, the Ministry of Telecommunications and Transportation began shortwave broadcasting tests. On August 19, 1929, when the German airship Zeppelin LZ-127 landed in Kashu-Migarura, Japan aired an on-the-spot broadcast and news in German. It transmitted these programs as far as the Netherlands by way of Kota Bandung in Indonesia, using shortwave testing facilities at the Ministry's Training Centre at Shiba and NHK station at Atakoyama, both in Tokyo. From there, Japan had planned to transmit the broadcast in Germany by cable, but this step failed to take place. After World War I, nations built up their militaries. To restrain this, five naval powers, the US, Britain, Japan, France and Italy, discussed limiting warships. In 1930, they signed the London Navy Treaty. At midnight of October 27, the leaders of Japan, the US and Britain celebrated its ratification on radio. Prime Minister Hamaguchi in Tokyo, President Hoover in Washington, and Prime Minister MacDonald in London spoke to the world on the air. From the studio in Atakoyama, Hamaguchi said, "An age of adventure was over when we looked at each other as enemies and claimed their interests. We're in the age of stability when we trust each other and work for mutual prosperity." The Communication Ministry's Kamigawa transmitting station, which opened in 1926, did the important work of transmitting this speech to the United States. It built a beam antenna in 2 weeks and sent radio waves to San Francisco by a transmitter with a crystal oscillator. The broadcast was a great success. It went from the US to London and even Berlin. This was the first on-air exchange to cross national borders. On August 26, 1931, an evening to welcome Colonel Lindbergh was aired to the US. He flew non-stop across the Pacific. 3 weeks later, on September 18, 1931, the Manchurian incident took place. The trigger was an explosion on a railway line from a Japanese firm at Liutiao Lake in a plot by Japan's Kanto Army. In March 1932, the State of Manchukuo was declared, and in October, the Lytton Commission of the League of Nations rejected Japan's claim of self-defense and the legitimacy of Manchukuo. In a General Assembly on February 24, 1933, the League of Nations adopted its report and upheld China's sovereignty over Manchuria, with 42 in favour and 1 Japan against. 1 abstained, and on March 27, Japan left the League, facing an urgent need to plead its case abroad. On June 1, 1934, Japan began regular shortwave relays of most of its domestic programs to Taiwan and Manchuria via the Nozaki transmitting station in Ibaraki. The broadcasts were also received by various stations in Korea. This was first called TOA, meaning East Asia Relay Broadcasting. It was later renamed TOA Broadcasting. And the programs are also heard in Southeast Asia and Pacific Rim countries. On November 10, 1934, an all-star U.S. baseball team visited Japan. Popular player Babe Ruth appeared on Talking About Baseball in Japan for a U.S. audience. Overseas broadcaster was expected not only to report news promptly, but also to play a role in promoting goodwill across borders. In 1935, the first voice from Japan was reported. It said, "Hello, fellow Japanese abroad. I'm speaking from a studio in Atagoyama in Tokyo." This was the first voice from Japan on the radio on June 1st, 1935. Announcer Shigeru Nakamura began at 10:30 on Saturday morning, Japan time. It was the beginning of overseas broadcasting on NHK's network. 5 minutes of news in English was read by second-generation Japanese-American Yoshio Yoshi, who joined NHK for that purpose. Broadcasting for Japanese abroad. From the start, NHK had been determined to begin overseas broadcasting in a domestic program on January 1, 1935. Then NHK President Kenzo Iwahara said the plan was often very misunderstood. He said he wanted to tell the world what Japan really was and help improve its relations with other countries. He was said to be working on a plan for this. The plan was to improve shortwave reception around the world and to hire speakers who could speak foreign languages well. English was not the only foreign language used on NHK. In 1937, German, French and Spanish were added. Languages continued to increase. By the end of World War II, broadcasting services came to be offered in 24 languages. So overseas broadcasting in Japan started as a way to promote international goodwill. But this stance was to change rapidly as Japan was increasingly isolated in international situations before World War II. So that's a summary of some information given in the booklet just produced by Radio Japan NHK in Tokyo, called 80 Years of NHK World, 1935 to 2015. So the book is available online from the NHK Radio Japan website. Look up the web details in the search engine. And it's also available in printed form to listeners to NHK on request. So I hope you enjoyed that short summary of content of that new book as Radio Japan celebrates its 80th years, its 80th anniversary this year. Now, some shortwave station news made from monitoring here in Melbourne recently. We're well into our spring season now and we're approaching summer. Shortwave propagation conditions have continued to be quite good at various times. An interesting opening I noticed recently from Brazil and Argentina. This was between 2000 and 2300 at 6am to 6:30am here in Melbourne. Brazilian stations noted on 11765, 11780, 11855 and 11815. That's in the 25 metre band. And in the 19 metre band, an unusually strong signal from Radio Exterior de Argentina at Buenos Aires on 15345, the Spanish programming between 2230 and 2300. So some interesting reception patterns now being noted here in Melbourne as we move through to the summer season, and don't forget that the new international transmission season begins on the last weekend of October. Completes our roundup of shortwave news. Hope we found the program of interest and that the information we've given will be of value to you in your shortwave monitoring activities. So until our next broadcast, this is Bob Padula in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, wishing you all good listening and good DX. See you soon.